Hey guys, my name's Chad, and if you've been around Gather for a while, you've probably heard some part of my story, if not the whole thing, but it's been a while, so we're doing it again. I'm going to try to read it, because if I don't read, y'all be here for 20 minutes. So anyway, my story is kind of the old boring, or at least I used to think it was the old boring story that I grew up a Christian, and I was always embarrassed about that, but I've kind of come to realize there's a lot of people like that, and so I'm going to share that part of it. And so a little bit of, if I do this in region, I would say it's a little bit of church recovery. But anyway, I was born into a Christian family. I think my parents took me to church on the way home from the hospital, and I grew up learning all the Bible stories in Sunday school, and I stuck at y'all's age, my age, y'all know I stuck the velvet beard on the velvet Jesus in Sunday school. If you don't know what that is, it's sad. Anyway, so I did all that stuff. I grew up with what now I can appreciate as a really firm foundation. Seventh grade camp, I went to camp in Arkansas and became a Christian, and I felt like that meant I was safe at that point. So Once I accepted Christ, then I felt like, okay, life's going to be perfect. It's going to go well. I'm his employee. And or actually, at that point, I was thinking he's my employee, and he keeps me safe and meets my needs until I went to college. When I went to college, I met a girl. We dated. And at the end of the beginning of my sophomore year, she broke up with me. And that was kind of a shocker to my system in my little sheltered life. That was the first really horrible thing that had happened to me, or at least I thought it was horrible. And so God wasn't keeping up with his part of the bargain, and it rattled my cage, which is a different part of my story, but because of my foundation, I knew that God was where I needed to go, and so I kind of poured myself into that, and spending time with the Lord and reading, and that was probably the first time that I actually connected with the Lord, and not just Bible stories. And so I was like, oh my gosh, this God thing is actually real, and he's helped me, you know, kind of keep me afloat and sustain me. And so he's not my employee. I'm his employee. And if I put my time in, then he'll give me what I want. And so that's kind of what I thought they taught me. And so I felt like I was way off. But if I do good stuff and I'm good, then God will reward me. And so I made a commitment to go into vocational ministry at that point. I'd been super plugged in youth group. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to go be a youth minister. So I figured the God thing out at that point. And so for 10 years, I actually, after I graduated from college, I went to a short stint in seminary. I worked on worked on staff at three different churches, and ended up at a church here in Dallas that I really loved. But I was in total isolation at that point. I didn't even understand the concept of having men around me. It was just kind of a mess. And so in the fall of 99, I had no accountability, no men around me, and so I developed a relationship with one of the girls in the senior girl in the group, and so that came into light, and obviously that's not okay, and so I was asked to leave the church, understandably, but I think more importantly at that point was that, so I lost what I felt like I was supposed to be doing, which is vocational ministry. But more importantly, my entire paradigm of the way God worked was totally shattered at that point. It's like, hey, I'm serving you. Why would this happen? How could you let that happen? Although that was choices I made. And so it's like everything about the paradigm that I had of God was just totally shattered at that point. And so I'm confused and now feel totally shameful. I'm not plugged into church, which I've always been in. And so, man, I just left church, went home, and what I say is I sat on the back porch for the next 4 years and read the Bible, trying to figure the formula out is what I did. I tried to find the formula, and I just completely isolated myself from everything. So fast forward, it's been 4 years of me trying to figure God out, and I heard, I had a friend invite me to like a little men's retreat deal, and they said, worship is what you give your soul to in return for life. And so I wrestled with that, and it's like, what is it that I'm giving my soul to in return for life? So what am I worshiping? And that was the idea of a relationship or the idea of marriage or whatever. And so as I dug into that, I realized that getting married was my plan of salvation, not God's plan of salvation for me. And that's where I'm going to go to always for life, and for intimacy, for validation as a man. And every time I did that, it was heartbreaking because it never works out, because it's not supposed to work that way. And so that was eye-opening. But at that point, I'd spent so much time being hurt and God not doing what I wanted them to do, that I kind of just shut everything down to where I was like, I'm cool as long as I don't have to feel anything. And so I wrote in my journal at that point, I wrote down, I'm amazed at the depth that I do not allow myself to feel. I killed passion. I've killed hope. If I don't have hope, I don't have pain. And so, but if there's no hope, there's no need for faith, because there's nothing to believe in. If there's no pain, there's no room for love. And so I had no hope, no pain, no love, no faith. Which is all a lie. And so I committed to controlling. At that point, I was controlling. I didn't know this at the time, but I was controlling my circumstances. Everything that I would involve myself in or whatever, I was making sure I control the circumstances so that I can so that I could avoid discomfort at all costs, and for sure avoid feeling, because that was not okay, not acceptable for me. And I kind of was like, hey, if this is this father-child relationship, I'm not super interested in that. And so I forgot, in the midst of saying, hey, I'm not interested in this father-son relationship, and you're not keeping your end of the employer agreement. Essentially, Scripture says, hey, all have fallen short of the glory of God. So even when I think I'm doing good or I'm on staff at a church, no one is good, not even one. And so I forgot about that, and so, which is what I was brought up. And so the wages of sin is death. Romans 5:8 reminds us that God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for me. No one is good. Christ died for me anyway. And so that's the gospel, that Christ died for everybody, and I'm not working for that salvation. Even though I was brought up in the church, I still thought I was. And so it's grace. I can't earn that. And me trying to earn it essentially makes the cross meaningless, and it's in the face of what Christ did for me. And so that's my plan of salvation, was to work my way to salvation, or my plan of salvation is a relationship. Both of those are kind of two different ways I sought it out, but it's a paradigm shift. So I'm frazzled. I don't know what's going on. I'm disenchanted with God. I don't know what to do with relationships. And so a buddy of mine, some of y'all have heard this, a buddy of mine, we're driving down this road in the middle of the night and on dirt road. And he says, hey man, I got a question and you have to say yes or no. So I'm like, okay. And he's like, do you trust God? And so I sit there for a minute. I'm like, well, here's the deal. And he's like, no, answer yes or no. You have to answer yes or no. And I'm like, well, here's the deal. And so he forces it again. He's like, do not say anything but yes or no. And he's a good friend, so he can say that to me. And I sat there for a long time, and I was like, no, I don't. And he's like, good, tell God that, which was totally foreign to me because I did not learn that in church. And so Psalms, essentially, what I've learned from that is lay before God what is in me, not what ought to be in me. And I don't like doing that. I put before him what ought to be in me. And so for the first time ever, after 24 years of being a believer, I went to bed that night and I told God, I don't trust you. And that, I would tell you, is where probably after 23 years of being a believer, was the first time I ever began to have a real relationship with the Lord, to where I was honest with him, which we see in the Psalms with David. And learn that he loves me and I'm not performing for him. I'm not trying to control. I can still do all of this, but I'm not trying to control things so that I'm managing how I feel or where I'm feeling pain. But I just try to live life with the Lord and trust him. And so my identity in Christ actually is what that is. It's like I trust him now. My identity's in him, not in relationships, not in how I feel. And so the only other thing that I wanted to just say is, it's funny because as we get older, as a 48-year-old single guy, I have the perspective, I was telling Braun this before, when I'm 30-something, it's like life is hard and I'm frustrated and why doesn't God fix it? That's that whole story. Why don't you keep up your end of the bargain? At 48, I have the benefit of going, man, I've had stuff that happened 15 years ago that now I can see the Lord was actually working all things together for good. We say that. I'm like, that's a cliche. And it's like, no, that's scripture. I have the benefit 15 years later, 10 years later, of looking back at a circumstance that was super painful and go, man, he's shaping my character. I said that when we did our 10 years thing a few weeks ago. He's shaping our character and he's shaping our trust for him. And I'm so thankful to have those benefits, but I have to trust him and I have to tell him, I have to be honest with him. And so I just wanted to kind of encourage everybody tonight and just share that, but just go, hey, when you get home tonight, you may not have trust issues with God, but when you get home tonight, just be honest. That's something I didn't do for 24 years as a believer. And so that's my encouragement to y'all. Thanks.